So do we need to divide up into the irritated group and the okay group? So which group wants to go first?
Well, I like to think I spanned both.
That's an expanded being. Okay, go ahead, Ananda.
Lovely, deep, restful, restorative sleep. But I woke up feeling sort of like hungover.
Uh-huh.
Just a little sort of jagged and off kilter.
Yes. And again, what I said last night, it's like stopping a speeding train that's been going 1,000 miles an hour. So for all of us, it's just, okay, we're shifting major gears here. So it's okay to feel off kilter. It's okay to feel discombobulated and really see if you can be okay with that. Okay, good. Who wants to go next?
This is Becky.
Uh-huh.
I slept really well, but woke up pretty achy all over. And I had a nice cup of coffee, but I did half an hour of yoga and took a shower. And now I'm feeling okay. I wasn't irritated at all. I just knew it was part of the process, but physically it felt like I was all like crumbled up and icky feeling, and I'm feeling better now.
Okay. Yeah. That achiness can be part of this finally relaxing the whole being. It's just our whole being is shifting gears and relaxing. So imagine that we've been tensing our muscles like continuously for months, and then all of a sudden we stop and we finally notice that we've been doing that. So imagine what state your muscles are probably in. And that's for everyone. That's not just for Becky. Mm-hmm. Okay, who wants to go next?
This is Mark. I felt the achiness yesterday. Today I felt more relaxed and kind of woke up feeling cleansed.
Huh.
But also had a dream message of cleaning up the clutter as being one of the dominant things that I have to take care of, both physical level mm-hmm. and at a deeper level.
Ah, nice to have a clear message. Good. Okay, next.
Mm-hmm. This is the other Mark.
Okay.
We had a good night. We were awakened by Chester, our youngest cat, about 5:18 this morning. He likes to jump up into bed, and then he whacks on the windows and plays with the shades, and then he comes over and knocks on my lamp, and you know, he wants us up. So anyway, so we got up about 6, and I had my coffee and my usual sit. I sit for about an hour in the morning and do the Medicine Buddha stuff, and then I went out for about an hour walk, and came back, made some tea, and I feel fantastic. I really feel like yesterday I offloaded a lot of tension, and I feel like I've got my usual high level of energy. I haven't felt this energetic in months, so it'll be an interesting day for me.
Oh, Cindy, you're going to be lucky. He's going to clean up some more of that house somehow.
I don't know how he says he's gotten his energy back. It has never left in my Now I got more energy. Oh, please.
So that'll be my challenge.
Always clean by him. Okay.
That'll be my challenge today, is to stay grounded. So okay. Anyway.
Well, good. I'm glad you're feeling good. Okay, who's next?
I'll join in.
Uh-huh.
Well, feeling good. I had a computer meltdown toward the end of last night, and I switched over to my iPad. So can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you great. You sound better, actually.
Well, maybe there was a purpose for that. Anyway, I woke up about 5 and thought I felt pretty good. I started doing my morning cleanup, find things I have to do when I have the energy in the morning.
On it. I didn't find my potty cleanup on Sorry
about that. I have all these echo devices around.
Oh, right.
Anyway, I'm doing good. I'll mute for a while and straighten out my electronics. I'm fine.
Good. But you sound really good on the iPad. It's clearer and sounds better, just so you know.
Good.
Okay, next.
This is Cindy. I slept most of the day yesterday and I feel great. My mental mind is a little disoriented because I don't entirely know what happened or where we are, but it doesn't really matter. So thank you.
Okay, the dormouse is back.
Yep.
Harper's watching Alice in Wonderland every day right now. So, okay. And who wants to go next?
Hi, it's Lisa. Good morning. Mm-hmm. I had a great night's sleep. And woke up this morning. I feel wonderful. I can tell that I need to move, though. I need to do some yoga on our break. Like it's a real yearning coming in. Like I need to wring out my joints and stuff. Like there's stuff stuck.
Yeah, that's a good balance to our sitting. Wonderful. Okay, next.
This is Becky. I was able to go to sleep pretty early last night, and we just got new heat and cooling in our home, and so I don't know how sensitive I was to noise, and so I feel like I have a new friend in the bedroom. There was this homie, and so I'm just sitting with that of like feeling a little bit of that, like making the sacred space and then having this new being show up in the space. So I could feel this sort of tightening up, and I was so grateful that having the retreat as a reminder to relax, like I didn't have to take that on today. I don't have to do anything, just be aware. And so what had happened was I went downstairs and I'm very aware right now of the mental chatter and kind of like, well, wait, let's not go there. What's something else? And so I'm feeling a little bit of that discombobulated. I don't feel too irritated other than that not being able to really settle. So that agitation is there, but it's not like aggressive, it's just there. So that's interesting to feel that.
Yeah, that sound sensitivity. Believe me, I know what that feels like. Okay.
Yes, that's what I figured I could bring it to the circle, because Sean was like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, didn't you hear it? And he was like, no. And every room I go into that has it, I'm like, okay, I get to make friends with this room. Okay. So
when we got our new HVAC system, I don't know, it was about 5 or 6 years ago, I had them out 3 or 4 times trying to deal with the sound too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was an adjustment.
Yeah. I'm intrigued. I'm going to have to sit with this to find out if I can have this new friend or not. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Who do we have next?
It's Fran. Mm-hmm. I'll speak.
Okay.
So I did not sleep well. And it wasn't that I was thinking or worrying. I was just lying in bed and not sleeping for much of the night. And so that was odd. And then in the early hours, I realized I was quite discombobulated, at least mentally, energetically. And it was actually, it was almost a relief. It was like, well, I'm really shifting and I'm so into being non-discombobulated in my life, my, you know, everyday life, that it was just kind of a, well, I'm releasing into it and letting it take me apart, as it will. And I've spent this morning quite a bit of time, and as well as yesterday, noticing how quickly I move out of the flow and the awareness. And I don't mean when I'm sitting, I mean this. So this morning I took a little bit of a walk and I would be beautifully in the flow, and literally 10 seconds later, I'd notice that I no longer was. And it's nothing, it's just how quickly my mind will, or my consciousness will move out of my being. And there's nobody, Lou's out of town, the cat and I are here alone, the cell phone is off. I mean, it's just, there are none of the typical distractions are there. But boy, oh boy, am I seeing this.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. And good for going with the flow on the discombobulation. And that's what it feels like. It's unsettling. And even when we decide to try to make peace with it or be graceful with it, sometimes it can just be awkward.
I'm going to be awkward and okay with that. It's like, what am I like? Awkward. We'll find out. You know?
Well, let's just say I would, excuse me, I would prefer awkward to resistance in the group.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So awkward's okay. Awkward's in flow, resistance and stagnancy. Okay, next.
Sarah, this is Lisa, the other Lisa. I can mirror what Fran said. I wasn't tired when the class ended. I slept well in the afternoon and was very rejuvenated by that. And so I was probably up until about 11:30, and then I drifted off and was up two other times. I ended up waking up at 4. And so I put a meditation tape on and I drifted off, and the experience was very different. I can't say I went to bed. I didn't go to bed agitated. I felt like I was grounded, but I didn't have the same sense of peace and serenity that I would normally experience after an afternoon of grounding and working energetically. And in the morning, my jaw was very tight, but the rest of my body was not, which is usually the body is the first thing that tightens up on me. That was odd. So I was really aware that something was going on. And so I took a walk. And during the walk, similar to what Fran said, it's really interesting, is that total peace felt. I really started to have that sense of connection again within my body. And then I pop into my mind. What happened would be, things that were resolved at a certain level, but still were more or less left over, kept popping into my mind. And they weren't yanking necessarily my emotions into it, but it was clearly removing me from the flow that I had previously been in. So that's been kind of my experience this morning.
Okay, good. You know, this is kind of a little bit of an aside. I'm not saying that this is happening, but let's just say you're taking a walk and you're really feeling grounded and you feel good, and then all of a sudden you pop out. Who knows if there wasn't some kind of pipe or wire under the sidewalk that was emitting some kind of frequency. Someone had walked by that very spot in some kind of heightened, agitated state. You know, when we're walking and moving through our life, we are not walking in a void. We're not moving in a void. Picture every single frequency, every single thought, every single sound, every feeling taking up space in the air. Quite a sight, huh?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Now I want to run the other way.
And there's no place to run.
There's no place to go.
That's the astral field that has been created. Yeah. Okay. And that's the astral field that is quite filled up on the planet right now and creating a lot of problems. The astral field is so packed with toxicity that we're living in it, okay? And it causes all kinds of distortions in our thinking and feeling and clarity. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying that I just listening to you and Fran taking a walk and what happened, for some reason that came in to add to the conversation. And not saying that everyone can't use more concentration practice, but and, you know, it's hard to be absorbed in that flow when you're walking and you have to make sure you're safe, too. Okay? So it wouldn't be unusual to just kind of pop out, check that you're safe, and go back in.
Mm-hmm.
Or that something in the force was disturbing at that moment. So what you always want to focus on is not that you popped out, but how is your muscle for bringing you back in?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, Sarah, a question. I mean, I know you are truly in the flow. So it's for you, that is, I gather, what it is. I'm asking, actually, that you are in and then you pop out and you notice and you just bring yourself back.
Right, right. There's no perfection here. Mm-hmm. You know, the perfection is in the return.
And I guess it's really how quickly I notice and you return.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And part of the amazing thing was, you know, I'd be so happily in the flow and then I noticed that I wasn't, but I didn't see where I crossed out.
Right. You know? Yeah. I know. And you may have just like banged into a thought or feeling. You should just walk through a certain airspace. You know, it's like that analogy with an airplane. You don't see the currents, but the pilot mm-hmm. knows they're there. Mm-hmm. They're all there. It's just, and let me expand on that if you want. I mean, really, you could be walking along just fine, and I'm just going to use Lou as an example, because he could just be thinking about you at that time and saying, oh, I should call Fran now, and then you pop out.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's not negative. It's mm-hmm. just that the way the matrix is flowing information at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, and just, you know, the whole, it feels like I'm starting to develop a deeper appreciation for non-locality. Maybe mm-hmm. The matrix, how literally every single thing that I say, think, or do, and vice versa, it affects everything else instantly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's my mind can't really do it. It's so mind boggling, but right. I'm doing it. I'm working on it. So.
Yeah. And so.
This is Cindy. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead, Cindy. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's just that it's exactly how I've been feeling. Like I'm in my house and within the retreat energy, and it's such a beautiful space, and I want to take a walk. But in all honesty, I'm afraid to go out there and see what I'm going to get hit with, because I'm in such a, and it doesn't even have, you know, my thinking is I could go to the forest and it would be beautiful, but maybe not. But in this tight neighborhood, I just feel like from house to house, I would pick up whatever was going on in there because I'm so open. And so you're bringing that up is, and how to deal with that is very helpful to me, because I was afraid to go out, in all honesty. I just didn't want to be out and get hit with whatever might be out there. I don't know that I'm terribly protected within my home.
Well,
but,
no, I mean, I agree with you.
Here.
I mean, a retreat is meant to be in a place where you don't have to deal with the rest of the outside world. I mean, what we're doing right now is unusual for a retreat, and it's amazing for a retreat. I mean, that's why I like to gather everyone in a cozy remote place where we're comfortable, where the space is safe, and there's plenty of natural land and beings, and you don't have to worry about dealing with those things.
Right.
And that's very purposeful, very purposeful. And it seems like it's a pain in the butt to get there, do everything and all that. But then once you're in that retreat space, it's a coherent space and it's not violated, except under unusual circumstances. And so, yes, I mean, I would say to you, Cindy, that you should stay in your house and be
on. That's really how I feel.
Yeah, and be on retreat. And as best as possible, that's why I'm saying stay away from the social media. Don't go out if you don't have to, and stay with the flow of the retreat. When we do it this way, we don't have control over the physical space that each person is in. And so there's a sense of trusting that the retreat space will be maintained and cared for, even though we don't have control over it. Because every single person in here is very sensitive. And
if we're in a frequency, a higher frequency, is that not somewhat protective against extraneous stuff floating in?
Yes and no. Let me pause before I answer that. The state that we're working in and rising to is an extremely refined state, and it requires a safe, quiet space in order to maintain it, in order to be able to sink into it enough that you get a truly transformational experience. So I would say that what the issue is not protection, but it's disturbance. So I feel that we're fully protected from negative influences on any plane, but we're not. Our nervous system is still susceptible to irritation and disturbance because the nervous system is being taken to a more refined state than we're normally in. So there's a difference between protection and disturbance.
I like that. That really resonates.
Thank you. Ananda, how did that sit?
This is Andy.
Go ahead, Andrew.
I feel really protected because of the sacred circle too. I mean, my sense of waking up this morning is like, oh wow, I'm just blessed. What a gift to really be moving in this direction with a group of people that are like-minded, and just, it's just so refreshing to have that backup, you know. So I'm feeling good about the protected space and even the disturbances that do come from whatever, you know, direction they come. I mean, it's like I can still handle it.
Okay, so Ananda, how did you respond to that?
Well, I guess a part of me was hoping that if one could achieve this level of clarity, that then not just at home in your sacred space, but out in the world, right, that you could function and carry that with you. And I mean, I've kind of given that up, which is why I'm giving up my job. But it's still kind of a hope that I have that I can carry this out into situations where I am surrounded with more agitation and can maintain my grounded clarity and maintain a really clear frequency.
And I would say that's a fair expectation, as long as you're not holding yourself to a rigid standard. Remember yesterday we talked about the idea that a few factors have to come together. Kind of an issue of timing, receptivity, alignment, and the ability to maintain what you're hoping for requires an enormous amount of concentration. That's the first requirement of that. A concentrated mind is one that is single-minded and not disturbed, okay? So we're looking at being in an extremely refined state on a retreat. We take a retreat to get to a state where we normally cannot attain it because of the outside disturbances, okay? And the state that we carry with us in our daily life, and I can hear it in you and I hear it in everyone else, is a desire to be carrying this beauty and truth and light with you in the world on a daily basis. And we do the best we can with it. If we were in a monastery, I guarantee you, Ananda, you would be in that state constantly. It would be your permanent state. And yet the new surge of bringing these higher states to daily life is in its infancy, actually. And so we're carrying that to start building it as a state of consciousness on the planet. But let's say you had the opportunity, like a Tibetan monk had an opportunity, to spend 40 years in concentration to be able to attain the state and stay in it permanently. Even that person going out into the world could lose it. because if they hadn't been tested and firmed up, annealed, you know, by the world, they would lose it too. So we're in this perspective now, this new wave of bringing this in and developing that solid core that helps us bring it through more and more and more. But anytime we hold ourselves to some kind of rigid standard, then we set ourselves up for major failure and major disappointment. Also, we're taking it personally. That's the point, an extra point here. Taking it personally instead of experiencing ourselves in a greater consciousness that includes not being personal. Now, do you have in your mind, Ananda, that some of the gurus that you've met maintain this state permanently and that they don't have to do their practices or attend to their consciousness?
Actually, what I've been incredibly impressed with is some of the highest beings that I've met, how seamless they are in, you know, walking through a supermarket and teaching a class. But yes, that's built upon decades of practice. But it's noteworthy to me that how the seamlessness, they don't like put on a holy person's persona if they're teaching a class, and then, you know, they're different if they're in the kitchen cooking something. It's they're the same. Mm-hmm. They're clear no matter what they're doing and where, no matter what they're doing,
but they're still doing their practices. They're doing
yes,
and that's the point. So Ananda, in how you express this, I feel the desire in you to become that person that is the exemplar of the teachings.
What else are we here for?
Not everyone's here for that.
Mm.
Now, as soon as you have a little time off from your job, this is going to come through so beautifully. Sometimes we need some space to let this open up, and all this time has been practice, and with a little space and some time off, you'll get to see what you've attained in a clearer way. Okay, so we have a few more people to check in. Elena, are you here?
Yes, I am here.
How are you doing? We didn't hear much from you yesterday. How are you doing?
I think I would fall into the irritability camp, probably. I'm here. It was very challenging for me to get myself here this morning. I've just been coming up against a lot of resistance in myself, I think.
Okay. And let's see, we've got Kathy Nacy or Trish or Kate, Marianne, who else?
This is Kate.
This is Kate. Go ahead, Kate.
I realized yesterday afternoon what happened. I came back on and said, you know, is anybody else feeling agitation? I had taken a drive out to the river with Jeff and my dog, and I came home irritated. So now I understand what happened. And I'm also wondering if our digital space and how things are progressing on Earth, if we're not being called to be monks out of the monastery and have this opportunity to do the deeper work as we walk out. And it's been good to hear that, you know.
Yeah, okay. Can I pause you for a second? Mm-hmm. You're really not clear in the way you're speaking into.
Is that better?
Yes.
I might not have been in a good position.
It's a little like you're underwater.
I can try.
There we go.
Oops. Is that better?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Okay.
I might have started losing the Bluetooth connection on my headphones.
Ah, now you're clear. Okay, go ahead.
I'm just wondering if we're not being called in this to this digital space and for retreat to allow us these opportunities to foray out a little bit and come back. And it's almost like I feel like I'm in a practice session for the next part of life, that this is a great opportunity having to do this virtually for that kind of practice, that we're expanding into that. And this is like the baby step into it.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good practice. Yeah, I agree with you. Okay. So let's see who's next. Kathy?
Trish? Yes. Good morning. Okay. I felt really at peace. I was at rest last night, and
went to bed probably around 11:30 midnight, and I was mentally abrupted with disturbance, and I really connect to that word. It has an odd frequency, an awkward frequency, and it attaches, connects with me in a way that I became very aware of. And the way it was affecting my nervous system just before sleep. And I went into the space of reconnecting to my lineage before before recollection of even knowing I had an existence there. And I found this beautiful space of loving presence. And it reminded me of last retreat when we were invited into the space before the flood, the great flood. And I became very calm and overwhelmed with just loving energy and the energy of loving myself before I go to sleep and covering myself with love. And it really made a difference for me when I woke up this morning. I had a slight agitation, I would say like an underlying storm. And I sat with it and attended to my thought process in a more loving way. And so in other speaking up and disturbances and myself needing to attend to my awakened consciousness in a more loving way, I have a better understanding of that disturbances will bubble up, and I have a choice to have a positive process and a loving process for that to just move on, to go into the ethers versus mental energy to process something that really doesn't matter. And so I appreciate this process. It's a different process of insight for me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of my agitation with apathy and empathy. It's letting go of the mental strain of figuring things out that really don't matter.
Okay, good muscle building. Who do we have? Ken and Marianne, have you checked in?
I have not. I slept well last evening. I had not realized how discombobulated, in a sense, I was yesterday. I awoke very differently this morning and was pleased. I greeted this brilliant sun this morning and gave gratitude for my grandmother tree and the sun. And I believe I had thought I had shed a lot of this worthiness business, but apparently not so. But it was a good thing today, I felt, when I was getting on and hadn't muted. And the sound obviously was disturbing getting on. But I didn't crawl on my knees to the confessional, and I didn't say 10 of Our Fathers and 10 Hail Marys. I forgave myself for my imperfection.
Love you.
And it was a good thing. I'm sorry for the agitation of the sound, but I forgave myself. And that was important. I thought that was the unworthiness was gone, because of the worry of ego. And yesterday, just remembering the synchronicities of getting ready for the retreat, I was in awe of it all. And now I'm just grateful, and hearing everyone speak about popping out and the various ways was so helpful and nourishing to hear that reflected, and how my feelings were involved in listening to what they were sharing. So I feel very well, and I feel very, very grateful. And trusting it will continue. I thought it was done, and not so.
Okay. And Ken, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
So I'm still trying to figure out really the best way to release all the energy that comes from, you know, these retreats and sessions, because I feel a lot of energy coming in, and I will tend to get, my muscles tighten up and stuff. I have different ways to release it, but I seem to have more coming in than is willing to go out, so I get a little, feel a little stuck there. This morning, I got agitated with some stuff, and I knew I had to deal with that. And I feel I did. I feel, I did some body work, and I the main thing was turning my mind around and focusing on something different than my agitation. And then when I got on the call, I felt like everything dissipated. It was really nice being in the circle and with everybody. And I guess I wouldn't have noticed a lot of this stuff before. Now I'm paying attention, and there's subtle energies getting on the phone with the group. But I noticed a big difference today. I took it in. And thank you, group, for that.
Hmm.
So.
Wonderful. Okay, did I
hey,
miss
Hey, Sarah, anything? This is Trish.
Yeah.
Me, Trish.
Oh, good, Trish. Yeah.
I need to pause for a second. So we all know Trish had sort of a hard time yesterday. I woke up feeling like it was Christmas morning because it was snowing, and I don't have like blowing heat. I have wood heat. So everything was quiet, so quiet. And I thought, oh, I'm so happy because it was so quiet. And I felt pretty good. And then I walked around and did some stuff. And then I came online, and my aches and pains, I do agree in what you said about I was holding myself so tightly that when I let go, it hurt. Mm-hmm. That's what the hurt was, and all my fascia was like, oh my God, you're finally like, oh, thank God. and then now I feel like Glinda in The Good Witch of the North and The Wizard of Oz, because they have a bubble going and I can see all the matrix or sense it, all the matrix kind of happening, all the molecules sort of bouncing around and flowing. And I'm just trying to stay in my little bubble, stay grounded and stay centered. But I'm, after listening to everybody, now I'm starting to fall out and I have a super hypersensitivity to sight, sound, specifically in my left ear. Don't know why one ear more than the other. Like even I sound really loud to myself. So that's where I'm at now.
Okay. Good.
This is Kathy. I'm going to mute. I got leaf blowers.
One of the main teachings of this retreat is that each person is sovereign. And yeah, I'll mute us. There, we're muted. Sovereign and the caretaker of their relationship with earth, heaven, and their own heart. That there is a source within you to guide you in this relationship. And I think many of you have felt the passion and the yearning that is being unearthed here to step towards that relationship. Ultimately, no matter what teacher you have, no matter what tradition you are in, there are steps that you need to take towards that. And during this retreat, we'll be taking some steps towards that. And one of the steps is letting go of all the ideas and preconceptions we have of the spiritual path. All preconceptions get in our way from being present. They give us an out in a way from coming back to our clarity. So these steps can be taken within the context of our sacred circle with the support of all the light, all the illuminated souls, and all the beings that are part of our expanded awareness. When we reduce ourselves down to our personality, that's a pretty desolate space. And we're not meant to do that. That's kind of a Western reductionist, mechanistic way of being with ourselves. It ends up in a lot of self-loathing. And so when we get caught in that very small bubble of our personality without a sense of our energy, our light, our greater ideal, we suffer. I want you to have a reference point for what that feels like. So when you come back to the limited space of the mechanistic being of your personality and how the culture looks at you, what do you feel? You know, usually there's either an inflation of the ego or a deflation of ego. There's judgment, there's comparison, there's criticism. There's competition. That's what happens when we get reduced into the materialistic perspective. And we want to know that reference point so acutely that the minute we smell it, taste it, get any kind of whiff of it, that we're going in that direction, we want to turn that around really quickly. And so I'd like you each to have kind of categorize a reference point for what that feels like in you. And file it. Have a name for the file and say, you know, this is who I am when I get judged by the society, when I compare myself, when I hate myself, when I get rigidly held beliefs that can limit me. This is how I feel. And paint a little picture, have a little name for that being. And know that you do not have to live there. Now, ultimately, this is up to each person and their moment of awakening to that. That they don't have to suffer. And all the Buddhist teachings are around not suffering. And we can put those just in plain language. I want you to notice how your body feels when you're in that state. What areas are tense? What areas hurt? How your body feels aligned or not aligned? And this gives you another reference point. For a place you don't want to be. And then I want you to notice how your mind is. What's the quality of your mind when you're in an uncomfortable state? What are the words that go through your mind? And what is the quality of the mind? What's the state of the mind? And you can put your own words to that. And what is the state of the emotional body? What do you hear? What sounds? What frequencies? What words keep you in that loop of limitation? No one can make you give up suffering. But we can create an environment that builds your immune system to make it want to feel, to make you want to feel better. So you can't just give up suffering. There's a energy that replaces suffering that feels better. There's a type of thinking that feels better. There's a type of feeling that feels better. There's a type of energy, a way we center in our being that feels better. So we will activate the sacred circle now, go more deeply into it. And we'll go through another cleansing and build the supportive energy in our being. And you may notice the part of you that refuses, that resists. And that's okay. Let it be bathed by the energies. But that's part of being human. That's part of the state we're in. Oh, someone just unmuted. So each person in the circle, connect with your breath and your body and your feet. Great Mother Earth, and notice your particular specific relationship with Mother Earth. Do you have a voice in your head that goes, ugh, why do we have to do this again? Or do you have a relationship with Mother Earth that's personal? A developed relationship? There, now the circle is forming. And we greet the nature spirits. And Owl has rejoined our circle. We greet the spirit of water, the water of life. We greet the spirit of light of the sun. And we greet the spirit of the air, the breath of light. And we greet the ether, the all-pervading intelligence of life. The intelligence that organizes us, aligns us with a greater source. That is that living membrane that pulses and sends out codes in this protective bubble of this earth consciousness to help us stay aligned with the greater forces. And we greet the spirit of the directions, the east, the south, the west, the north, above and below. And allow ourselves to merge into the sense of light or energy or flow or beauty, however you feel it. Now, this circle has a different quality than the circles we've done before. There's a golden type of frequency coming in through the central axis. That is supporting our shift and transformation. And we're not attributing it to any particular being. It's a frequency. Always go back down to your feet if the energy is too strong or you feel like it's stagnating. Remember, we are on retreat, and that means that we're going through a process of releasing lower frequency and allowing a higher frequency to come in. So you may not know what's happening right now with you, but you can feel something. This is where we move off of charted territory and move into the unknown of the mind, but the known of the heart. This is where we purify the mind so it won't destroy the heart or try to limit it or judge it with any comparative thoughts. You just can't enter the deeper state of the heart when you're still in the comparative mind. And the comparative mind is not to be confused with the discerning mind. That often happens. And that comparative mind likes to hold on. So it's being bathed with frequencies to help it release now. And there's a lot of detoxing going on now. The irritability, the anger, the mental instability. All that we've held in that astral space is being purified right now. You may not even know what you are like or who you are with a purified astral space. you may find yourself coming out of the meditation now. So what we'll do, we'll take a 15-minute break. That would put us at 5 to 12 again. So do what you need to do for yourself right now. And we'll meet back at 5 to 12. And help me remember to turn the recording back on, please. I'm remembering. Okay. I guess we have a president.
Oh, oh really?
You saw that.
I saw that. I had a million calls coming into my machine from all my cousins obsessed with the election. Okay. We'll see what happens now.
And just for
that over to the fat lady sings.
Who is it?
Oh, Biden.
Okay.
Wow.
Oh my. Okay, here we go.
So we'll see what happens now.
Okay. It is 2020.
Yes, it is. And I said each day in 2020 would be like a new day. Each half day in 2021 will be like a new day.
Oh, Sarah, come on.
Every 5 minutes.
Yeah, pretty soon you'll see. When you wake up, it'll be a day. When noon comes around, it'll be a new day. Dinner time will be a new day. Bedtime will be a new day. Oh, my.
Not a good entertainment.
Yep. Okay.
I can't wait till you and Carol have your podcast on the 12th. That should be very enlightening.
Well, we're interviewing on the 12th, and I will get it up as soon as I can. She's heading into the solstice. That's her. There's, I guess, some big, big energies coming in through the solstice this December.
Okay.
So that's where she's focused. Okay.
I am so happy to be on here today. So happy.
How did we do that with that last meditation? That was a little different. It was pure frequency. And took a little while to like get the next purification through. How'd we do?
I just totally passed out.
Yeah.
Yep. I slept.
I was in another world. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Yeah. Go on.
Okay. Okay, so that'll predict how we're going through the rest of the day. You'll all have really nice naps.
Well, it was interesting when you talked about our relationship with Mother Earth, and I found myself laying on my side on her and sinking into her, and then didn't turn into, but who appeared was the sleeping goddess of Malta. And I kept thinking, okay, did you think that, you know how you're, did I think this? But she stayed through the entire meditation. Hmm. And so I have her little statue. It was on my bottom shelf. Now she's on my middle shelf. They found her to the entrance of the chamber of the Holy of Holies in the Hypogeum in Malta. Mm. And so I thought, oh, we were entering the Holy of Holies. So there she sits, or there she lay. Very precious.
Get out of there.
Are you talking to your cat, Mark?
I am. Yes. Buster has a habit of sticking his face in water. And he's drinking out of. Yeah. Well, he's welcome to go up under the altar, but I don't want him drinking my water out of my little vessel here.
He knows where the good stuff is.
Well, the altar bowl is a little kitty cat bowl. I used to call it my Rocky water, because Rocky was one of our cats who passed. He'd sit with me every day. I was after Roxy had passed. She was my little meditation kitty, and then Rocky took that over. Rocky has his own little water dish that sits on my altar, and it sits in memory of him. So that gets filled with fresh water every day. Now it's attracting Buster, but Buster will never sit in my lap and be a meditation kitty. So that's okay.
He's just going directly for the nectar.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Give me right to the
business. He owns the house, you know.
Yeah. It's good someone knows what to do. Okay. It was interesting because when each person was invited to be in their own individual relationship with Mother Earth, that was the critical moment in the meditation. And what did you notice? Cindy noticed hers, but what did you notice about that?
Love.
Yes, just embraced in love and understanding and support, and it brought me to tears, the feeling of oneness. And the vision I had was just a very stark white blank page of paper. That was very interesting.
After the
feeling, no words.
Okay.
The words I heard were that quote of the American Indian chief who said, "I touch the earth and she touches me."
So interesting, Ananda, you heard words. Just to take note of how you're relating to the energy. And some other ways that people connected and felt that?
I felt a real smoothness. This is Ken. I felt a real smoothness come over me. Calm. Very nice.
The reason this is important, it's so that you own your direct relationship. This retreat is about really shifting into what you know as your primary consciousness. What are some other words for that? I want to hear what words you might have for that.
I felt like I just merged into the earth.
Well, I want to know about the words for owning what you know already. How do you express that for yourself?
It's like coming home.
Coming home.
A knowingness.
Okay, we're missing the point here. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Remembering.
No. Oh, Marianne, you're going to get a big red X on that one. Okay.
Okay. Uh-oh. Actually, hugs and kisses is what it is.
Crawling back to the confessional.
Five Hail Marys.
Okay, so words for how... Okay, so let's look at this as a foreground-background shift, okay? You live as if you don't know. And what is it like when that shifts to you do know? How do you own that? And how does that feel? And what are your words for that? So coming home is the first step, but the second one is when you step into it.
Take action.
What was that, Andrea?
Take action.
Yeah, no. Come on, you guys. Pause for a moment and feel this.
The word that keeps coming for me is embodiment.
Embodiment.
If I can own it.
You can own it then.
Okay. Then I can feel it in my body. You know, like it's that whole, it becomes whole in me. So that embodiment of that.
Oh, there you go. Mm. You get a gold star. Mm. Come on. I want everyone to get a gold star today. Okay. Did you hear the difference in what she said?
Yes. So, presence.
Okay, that has more power to it.
Okay.
I feel very tearful.
I'm sorry, who's that?
It's Kate.
Kate, very... you're still underwater.
Oh.
I need to say something. I'll switch over to this mode. Okay. I'm very tearful.
Tearful?
Yeah, I tried to get up and have some tea in between, and I just am lying here crying.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was an embrace from both sides.
Ah. Does that express...
What's it, Mark?
It was an embrace from both sides, so I could feel the love, but I could also give it back in gratitude.
Ah, okay. Feel the shift in yourself from powerless to powerful, from unknowing to knowing.
This is Kathy. And I am that.
Okay.
I am that experience.
Okay, that's got the energy in it.
For me, this is Ron.
Say it again, Ron.
I haven't said anything yet. What I'm finding is that any word, anything I come up with just dilutes the experience.
Okay.
It's Fran. What was very stunning, striking for me was when you said that during the meditation, I realized that I was not owning, and that was my word, my relationship with Mother Earth. And it was shocking because I commune and connect with her deeply many times a day, and or daily, maybe not many times, but to become aware that there was more attentiveness and ownership that was required on my part to truly have that relationship and be in that whole embraced state.
This is Ken. I feel it is timeless and infinite.
And do you own it?
Yeah.
Okay. I check your energy and then I'll believe, I just checked your energy, so I do believe it. Okay. Mm-hmm. You got to convince me, mm-hmm. everyone. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Belonging.
Okay. I buy that one. Okay.
Got a hard sale.
Yeah.
When you're hot, you're hot.
Okay, who wants to sell me on it?
Well, Sarah, this is Lisa.
Sarah.
Lisa, go ahead.
Yeah, I really didn't know. Basically, what happened was when you asked the question about what is my relationship to Mother Earth, my first words in my head were, I don't have one. And you shortly thereafter said, either you don't have one, or I don't know, you said something, do we have to go over this again? There were two things that you said. So I was stuck on that. And boy, did that hit me. And in addition to that, I came out of the meditation in a substantially higher vibration. There's no question about that. But my mind kept popping, and it's popping into the election. And again, this was the astral space, right? And it's, mm-hmm. it was comparison and mm-hmm. just the astral energy in my own life, in my home. And at the same time, really scrutinizing what made that statement pop into my mind. I don't have one. And so that is something that I really need to, I know visual is very important to me. And so the consciousness of Mother Earth is not something that I've deeply connected with, I think, as much as I need to and want to.
Beautiful. I'll buy that one. Okay. Very authentic. Let's have some more. This is important. I know okay. This is very important. Okay.
This is Becky.
This is,
I okay. feel the love and the light, and I am the love and the light.
Okay. Good. Who is going to go next?
This is Trish.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand it when I first saw it, but now I do. I saw the roses that I bought on the plants in the rose field, and they were dancing. They were like, their arms were out, and they're like, dance with me. So I'd have to say dance in partnership.
Good. Yes. Okay. Mm. Feel how the energy is shifting in the group right now?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who else? Elena, are you there? I'm going to pull you out of hiding. You there, Elena? Oh, wait, you know what? Someone dropped off. Okay, I wonder if it's her. Okay. Mark, were you going to speak?
Yeah. A couple things. When, you know, I sit in the morning and connect to Mother Earth, but I also I connect to everything, and I connect to the land that our home sits on, and all the little beings that are here in the land. So I connect not just to Mother Earth, but to the nature spirits. And so I got into my head a little bit right after you said that, and then I settled in. And to me, it's a wisdom. It's a deep knowing beyond knowledge that just is there, and it's wisdom. It's truth.
And is it in you?
Oh yeah.
Oh, don't say that so quickly. You have to say it.
Well, it feels
in the state of being that.
It feels that way.
Just going to invite you to settle in a little more deeply to feel what's in you. There you go. What's the difference now?
There's no pressure, no mind pressure.
Mm-hmm. What are the words your heart wants to speak?
Compassion comes to mind. Sort of floated up real quick there.
Yeah, let's just start with an I statement. You guys, stop feeding him words.
Okay.
One is coming up as a word, one, unity.
Your mind's still separating you from the experience. So if we just start with I and then see what your being wants to say.
It wants to say am.
Okay.
That's what it wants to say, is am.
Uh-huh.
I am.
Yes.
With a punctuation, exclamation point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I buy that one. Okay, who else?
It's around. I'd like to give it another go around.
Okay, Ryan.
So I feel what I'm feeling is a falling away of boundaries.
Okay. And so if you started it as I, what would it be?
I feel disappearance of the separation.
There you go. Okay. How'd that feel to say that, Ron?
Feels good. Feels coming from my heart.
Yes. Okay, anyone else willing to try here?
I feel aliveness.
Let's start it with I and complete it like as a as an I statement.
I feel I am alive.
Yes. There you go.
I am clarity.
Okay.
I breathe in the light. I breathe out the light.
Yes. Okay, very good. So we're turning a corner here as we move through the retreat. And we will continue strengthening your I am or your knowing of who you are. You know, that rises from within. And we keep waiting for people to tell us. But you've got to know it yourself. And you know it when you're authentic. It's not like you need to shout it to the world, but you need to know it yourself. Okay, anything else before we close for our afternoon break?